And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan, and how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Thank God, thank God. It's good to be back on the air.
It is. Yeah, it is. I had a week off. We went skiing for the last time this year.
Beautiful.
And it was fun. It was nice.
No, absolutely.
So,
very nice.
So, Parshat Acharei Kedoshim.
Acharei Mar Kedoshim. It's a double portion, which is a beautiful, you know, every Shabbos. It's a good Shabbos, and it's a beautiful Shabbos. And we have double portion that's very nice as well. And we've seen this big third portion that he talks about following the death of Nadav and Avihu. God warns against unauthorized entry into the holy, into the holies of holies. And the only one person that can go in is the Kohen God of the High Priest, and he can only enter in once a year on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Now, we also learn about the Torah portion of Acharei Mos teaches us against bringing korbanot, animal sacrifices, anywhere but in the Holy Temple. And does not allow us to consume any blood, and it details exactly how the blood and bone is supposed to be taken out, and that's one of the things that we're not allowed to do as Jews, is eating blood. That's why if you taste kosher meat, sometimes it's a little bit saltier than non-kosher meat, because they have to use that salt still to drain out all the blood.
Yeah.
And we see in the second portion of Kedoshim, it brings out the holy words of, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And after that, obviously, there's lots and lots of mitzvahs. We also learn what the great sage Rabbi Akiva called as the principal part of the Torah, which is the love your fellow as yourself.
And everything else.
Correct. The entire Torah, the rest is commentary.
That's on one leg.
Exactly. So now we see, you know, people feel, you know, very spiritual on Yom Kippur, on the holiest day of the year. And it's very easy to feel spiritual on Yom Kippur. You don't eat, no business, no spousal relations, you know, long hours of praying in the synagogue. And that, you know, is very, very conducive to, you know, making us feeling very holy and feeling very, very spiritual. So it's no wonder that so many religions placed a premium on this idea of, you know, demanding that their most devoted adherents, you know, divorce themselves completely from the temptations offered by the world, and, you know, you should have celibacy, long hours of meditation and fasting, and a life in a secluded monastery. And this is obviously all a sure path of spirituality. And this is how we're going to become very spiritual. This is how we're going to become very, very close to God. That's what's demanded from a lot of people, from a lot of nations of the world. However, the Torah has a very, very different perspective. And we see that in this week's Torah portion, it starts with the mention of Nadav and Avihu, death. And why did they die? Partially as a punishment for their spiritual motivated decision to remain, you know, abstract from everything and just connected with Hashem, with God. And God wants us to walk a sin cycle. He wants us to be married, go to work, partake in, you know, lavish Shabbos and holiday meals, and at that very moment to be at the highest level of spirituality and holiness. A daunting task, obviously, as people might think. So the question is, how does one simultaneously dwell in two contradictory worlds? The world of spirit, spirituality, and the world of the flesh, of materialistic things, of desires, of pleasure. How does one, you know, deal with it? How, what's the solution? So every mitzvah is comprised of a body and a soul. The body is the physical act which we are commanded to do, or which we are instructed to avoid. And the soul is the lesson the mitzvah imparts. It's message which we must implant in our lives. You know, for example, the prohibition against consuming blood, as well as the process of its removal, teaches us a very powerful lesson pertaining to our approach in our relationship with the world. Because if you think about it, we're not always fortunate enough to contend with the divine or even with humanity. On a daily basis, we also have to deal with, you know, animalistic, completely non-spiritual aspects of regular life. You know, consumption of animal flesh is a metaphor for these moments of the day of a person, because blood represents warmth, life, passion. And the Torah asks us to remove all the blood from our worldly activities, to be involved in the world, to partake in its flesh, but without excessive enthusiasm or excitement. So, anybody might say, whoa, so, how is this possible? Is this really possible to do? What, I'm just going to eat a piece of meat because I need to eat? It's hard to say that when you're going to eat a nice piece of meat. You enjoy what you're eating. How is it possible that you're going to tell me that I should really remove myself from all the worldly activities, you know, which blood represents warmth? And, you know, just partake in things of the world, but with no excessive enthusiasm or excitement. How is it possible? So the Torah describes the covenant between God and his nation as a salt covenant, which the commentators explain that the salt never decays. It remains internally fresh, which is the exact same thing it should be as our relationship with God. Never expires or even becomes a spicy stale. You know, intrinsically, the symbol of our relationship with God is a food item, which is independently inedible. Its primary purpose is to add wonderful tastes to particularly all other foods. So for example, you have our relationship with God. It's not an end with itself. Rather, it's meant to give a spiritual flavor and meaning to all the other aspects of our life. You know, if you do a mitzvah, it's a commandment, because, you know, I have to do a mitzvah. I have to. Why I have to, I don't know why, but I need to. Very, very dry. It doesn't have any life to it. But when you have this idea that you have a relationship with God, that adds the flavor to when you do the mitzvah. That is, wow, that is something that is, it's a different style mitzvah. You know, when eating a piece of meat or a piece of pasta or whatever it is, and there's no spices and nothing on it, very bland. It has no taste. Yes, I could just eat that because I need to survive. But it has no flavor. It doesn't really give it an existence. It doesn't give it a desirable taste. And we have, you know, to, as the metaphor of the salt is to sprinkle salt on every part of our life, on our workplace, on our dinner table, on our gym, and even when we go on vacation. When our love for God and our desire to serve Him with every fiber of our being is our leading motivation, then all we do is for Him. We eat and we exercise so that we have enough strength to serve Him. We work to have the means to serve Him. We go to someone's house to help them in order to make our lives better, to help them. So all these types of things, and there is so much flavor added to that if we do it in the way that everything that we do, we add a little bit of soul, we add a little bit of life, we add a little bit of motivation, of something with our relationship with God. And that's why the Torah has a different perspective. You know, yes, being spiritual all the time is not what the Torah wants us to do. The Torah wants us to get involved. The Torah wants us to do things in the world. But when we're doing these types of things in the world, we understand why we're doing this. We add that salt. We enjoy it, but we've drained out all the blood. We've drained out everything that we're not allowed to have for us, things that will distract us and take us away from our service of God, rather than enjoying the piece of meat, enabling us to have the strength to go and serve Hashem, to go and serve God. God wants us to do that. God doesn't want us to be sitting in shul, in synagogue, 365 days a year like Yom Kippur. That defeats the purpose of what God wants us in this world. We need to get involved in the world. But involved in the world that we draw out, we pour the salt and we take out all the things, we filter what shouldn't be there, what shouldn't be part of our life, and take the good parts of the world and bring that, and enabling us to have that beautiful relationship between us and God.
That's nice. That's a good parasha. Now, I have a question. How is it that this parasha is combined from two parts?
Correct. We'll see there, why sometimes we have two, sometimes we have one? Because if we know in Israel, they don't always, for example, 7 days of Pesach, we have eight days of Sukkot, they have seven, so on and so forth. So they might be ahead of us with parshas. For example, when it comes to Simchat Torah, we're supposed to be finished the parsha, the Torah, we all have to be finished at the same time.
Yeah.
And so therefore, there are some times that we have to make up. There are certain ones that are always combined.
Yeah.
Like Tazria, Metzorah, Haremot, Shadoshim, Bahar, Bechukosai, certain ones that are always combined. Not every year are they combined, depending on the leap year sometimes.
Depending on the calendar.
Exactly.
And that's only in the diaspora.
Correct. And in Israel, they would not read Haremot, Shadoshim, they read Haremot, and actually they would read Shadoshim, or what, this weekend might be reading Shadoshim because they're already ahead. So that's in order for us to be able to catch up and to be able to be together finishing up Simchat Torah at the same time.
That's good. So I learned something today.
Yeah. So you learn something every day.
I learn something every day. So Rabbi, services at Sha'arei Shamayim, right?
We're still in the Sha'arei Shamayim in the chapel, and we have services at 7 o'clock Friday evening, 9:30 Saturday morning. And, not this Sunday, but next Sunday is the big day of Lag BaOmer.
Lag BaOmer, yeah.
So next week on the radio show, we will talk about the customs of Lag BaOmer, the meaning of why we do Lag BaOmer, and so on and so forth. That's going to be very, very interesting.
That's good.
And so then there also is the, Shavuot. I believe, Shavuot, that's in a couple of weeks, but also this week is the Scholar in Residence.
Right.
So it's a busy week this week.
So Rabbi, I want to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, you too, and have a good week, a healthy week, and we'll talk next week.
We'll do that.
All right, be well, Ilan.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.